Yes, first.
You don't like rice? Tell me, Michael, how could a billion Chinese people be wrong? Come on.
How are those maggots?
Maggots, Michael. You're eating maggots. How do they taste?
Leave him alone.
This is it. Showtime. Episode 17 of Mission Statements, Adult and Bravo Urban Exploration Team Podcast. And of course, with my man Joshua Cooper, Fog City. Fucking Delta Bravo San Francisco.
Delta Bravo does it better.
Oh, we of course we do. What's going on, brother?
Nothing. Hold on. I need to do this. Jimmy!
Those son of a bitches!
Yeah,
people don't know the reference.
Like I said in the green room before we went on, I feel like I already know you. You know, our late night, early morning conversations.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it seems like there's several people that I've had on here that I never met in person, but it's like I feel like I know like a lot of you guys just from the group, and it's just the whole mutual interest thing, you know what I mean? And I say it a lot on here, and it's just true that the vast majority of everybody who's active on the group, whether they go hit spots or not necessarily go hit spots, but everyone who joins in on conversations and stuff like that within the Delta Bravo group, there's always like there's a natural thing there. It's like we're all over the country. We've never met like in person, but we all feel like we know each other because of a common thing, which is super unique. Yeah, it's super unique because not that many people do what it is that we do. Find time to do it and actually put time and effort and take time out of your life. And sometimes even sacrifice other things to go and take a picture of a fucking, what some people would just think is a wall. But nah, like that's... Yep. Where, I don't know, where Madonna was standing in 1982 or some stupid shit. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a very unique thing. And I feel like I know a lot of you guys that I haven't met yet. But there's a bunch of people next summer, especially out in Cali, that I will link up with and actually meet.
Yeah, that's one of the cool things is meeting people in person. You know, going out to Tulsa years ago, I met... Jimmy Cash and saw Rob Brady, saw some other cats, you know, met up with James Greaser Clark and Joe, I can't pronounce his last name right now, Joe C.
Challenger?
The guy that took all the pictures from the Outsiders. Joe. Cavanza, or God, I can't even, shit.
Cervantes?
Something like that.
But, that guy.
Meeting up, you know, with people you never met before, jumping in the car together, going to the DX station, going to Admiral Twins, going to Circle Cinema, you know, seeing the CEO, you know.
Yeah. That's a very unique and awesome experience, man.
Absolutely.
I finally got out there, I mean... You know, better late than never, obviously, but it was a long time coming for me to finally make it out there to Tulsa. And once I did, like this next road trip that I'm going to take, I'm not just going to stay like one day and one night there. I'm going to do at least two or three minimum. Yeah. You know, I'm going to have my daughter with me, and I don't want to, you know, this.
Oh, nice. That would be good.
Yeah, dude. And plus, she's going to be almost 14. She loves this shit already. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, she's like already looking for stuff in California. Like I told her, like I was like, listen, I want to go from California and basically drive our asses all the way back to the East Coast. She's like, yeah, but that means we're only going to have like 2 or 3 days in California. She wants to stay there like the entire time. So yeah. I'm like, how about this? If I take like 12 days off from work and we stay in Cali for like 5 or 6 days and then travel maybe to like Tulsa and then down to like New Orleans and then maybe fly back out of New Orleans.
Yes.
Something like that. Yeah.
Your trip I just heard about.
Yeah, that's what I would really like to do, but I also have to keep into consideration that, you know, I'm going to have my daughter, and she's not going to be she's not a road dog, you know what I mean? She's going to I think she'll be all into California. She wants to see the outsider's house, and then after that, I think she'll kind of lose interest, and that's halfway across the country, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
is she a fan of like the Lost Boys?
Because
you guys have, once you leave NorCal, you got to hit up Santa Cruz.
Oh, 100%. Well, the Lost Boys is on the list, and when we were in the green room, that's kind of funny. When we were in the green room before I pressed record, the ending of the Goonies, and she likes the Goonies. So
that's right up there.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So all of that stuff. There's some stuff that you hit that I'm like, that I want to fucking follow in your footsteps and do. Dude, one of my favorite fucking hits out of everybody is you on the boardwalk with the intro to Three's Company, dude.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dude, I love that. Like, I want to do that. I grew up shit.
I was at Santa Monica Pier down in Santa Monica. I was doing some Fletch shots underneath the bridge or underneath the boardwalk. And I went back up and I was like, yeah, that's right there at the beginning of Three's Company. Come and knock on my door.
Come and knock on my door. I was like, that's great. That's a great hit, man. Yeah.
Not much has changed on that bridge. Or on that boardwalk, you know, it's pretty much the same pier.
That's a good thing. I like when things remain unchanged.
Yeah, me too. Too many things change down in LA, you know.
Oh yeah, that's just like here in New York. I mean, in the neighborhoods, like if you get some like deep cuts and you're in like some side street in a neighborhood in Queens or something like that, things might not be, you know, so much different, but like. Once you start getting into Manhattan, especially Times Square and like all that stuff is, and then even some side blocks in Manhattan, like you just, you know, like I did, like there's only a couple of scenes from The Exorcist that were filmed in Manhattan. That's when Father Karras goes and visits his mother and stuff. That's Manhattan. That's only like 4 or 5 blocks from where I work. And that whole row of houses are completely different. Completely, but there's a couple of small, you have to really look, and knowing the shit that we do, you have to kind of really look at certain like structural walls or certain things that can't really change unless they completely demolish a building and rebuild a new one. But you can find it if you really look. But
yeah, well, the good things are trees kind of stay the same, they grow, or like light posts are usually still there.
Yeah.
But buildings, you know, they tear them down, they rebuild them.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's like when we were in the green room, there's I want to start North Cali. So I'm going to be I'm probably going to start somewhere around up in San Francisco. And nice. Yeah, 100%. There's a bucket. I need to go. It might sound hacky or whatever, but I don't give a shit. I need to go to Alcatraz. Not even just the Delta Bravo things over there, you know? Like, ever since I saw the movie Escape from Alcatraz, I'm like, you know, and you can go there? Like, I want to go there. And then Danny Johnson just hit Escape from Alcatraz.
Yes, he did.
So dope. Like, I need to go there. So I want to start there. And there's, I don't know, obviously, I've never been to San Francisco, but there's a... I would have to dig a little bit, but I have screenshots. I have so many folders already of places that I want to hit in California. It's ridiculous. But it's Victoria Avenue. It's in San Francisco. But I'll get you a side street. I just look really quick. But it's Victoria Avenue, and there's that whole surrounding area, actually a couple, we're on podcast time. This isn't going to drop for a couple weeks, but 2 days ago was the 40th year anniversary of the Slumber Party Massacre.
And Never heard of it.
Really? Dude, it's so bad, but it's so good. It's so bad. Those the 80s slasher horror movies are terrible. It's like they were all coming out with, like, you know, within from like 1981 to like 1988, there was probably 200,000 fucking terrible slasher movies.
Yeah.
But the Slumber but the Slumber Party, Matt, they actually just remade it. I was shocked. It was terrible. It was even worse than the original. But yeah, because like you're watching it, and the new one, they have cell phones. It's like back then they're answering like rotary phones off the wall and shit. So it's so bad. And there's a guy who runs around with a giant drill, and he kills like girls that have a sleepover. It's so bad. But I like it because I remember as a kid going to the video store and renting the video cassette, you know, the videotape of the VCR, and, you know, like, oh, this is bad, you know, and there's tits everywhere because every single fucking slasher movie, it's like in the middle of the living room, they're like, oh, yeah, and they're talking about school or whatever, and they just start changing in the middle of the living room and putting on pajamas. It's like a boob fest, but
VHS life.
Right, exactly, but it, that shit's part of my childhood, and a whole bunch of it was filmed in San Francisco. So right. It's like some backyard shots. I mean, I don't know how it's laid out. I have no idea. You know, it would be dope if I can get into a backyard. There's a whole pool scene. That would be cool, but I have no idea. But I have like 12 shots from that movie all around in San Francisco. Just off the top of my head. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I need to hit Haight Ashbury. I want to hit Charles, like the house that Charles Manson lived in San Francisco. Like all that shit. I need to see that stuff.
You just mentioned that house. I met up with Danny Johnson last month.
Yeah.
You know, he drove down from or drove up from Oceanside. He tells me he's leaving at midnight and he'll be in San Francisco 9 a.m. So hit him up. So I'm up in Sonoma. I wake up at 9, get in the car. Well, I took a shower first, got in the car. Right. I was there before, you know, before 10, got over the bridge. Called him up, and you know, I had never talked to him on the phone. I'm like, hey, where you at, Danny's like, I'm at Alamo Square right here. You know, gave me the address, drove up, picked him up, he hopped in the car, and it was just like, we had never met, but it was just, come on, bro.
Come on, jump in, let's go. Corner.
I'm like, hey, have you ever seen that one shot of the Beastie Boys behind the Painted Sisters? Da, da. He's like, no, but I just love the Beastie Boys. So, we parked, we took a picture. I'm like, also, this park is where they filmed the ending of Full House. So we took some shots and dropped him off at his car. We drove to downtown. We both parked. We walked up to Cafe Zoetrope. Francis Ford Coppola's restaurant. We walked in Chinatown, and you know, he was in no rush. He was just like taking pictures of this, taking pictures of that, smelling the roses.
Yeah.
You know, we're supposed to meet up with Pease that day, but we didn't really get around to it. I think Pease was busy. You know, Pease is he does a list. He's got his tripod, he's got, you know, boom, 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 boom. And, you know, Danny and I just kind of, we broke some bread. We had some lunch.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I don't want to make it like a job. I want to enjoy, take my time, take it all in. Maybe stand there like, you know, if I'm like in front of like Charles Manson's house or whatever, or there's a famous picture of like Bobby Boucher on a staircase. I believe it's in San Francisco. Like, I want to stand there and for 5 minutes and just kind of, I'm not going to be in San Francisco again for a while. It's not like it's down like Coney Island, like over here. Like, I'm not going to be in San Francisco. So I need to have a moment there. You know what I mean? I don't want it to be a job. Like I said, I'm going to have my daughter with me. I'm not going to be dragging her around. Maybe she wants to walk around and check it out and go to a store. But I'm not in any rush, dude.
Yeah. We started, like I said, we started maybe at 10. And I think when I left him at the Golden Gate Bridge, It was six. So, you know, we had 8 hours of just running around. And, you know, we hopped in Ubers. We did a the back cover of Ill Communication, Beastie Boys.
Sick.
You know, like in the Tenderloin. Yeah. And, you know, you got people over here smoking crack. And you got a nice hotel to the left. And it's just, San Francisco is just, it's a trip. You know, it's a beautiful, beautiful city. But then the people suck. You know,
well, that's I mean, I think that goes. Listen, a lot of New Yorkers like that, bro. Like, I'm born and raised in New York, born and raised in Brooklyn. You know, I've been all over the place in the military. You know, my ex-wife, I lived in Jersey. I've lived in North Carolina. I lived in Miami for a little while, my old job and shit. But I always find myself back in New York and I love it. But lately, I can't even say I love it anymore. I'm just very used to it. Whenever I say I love it, I think it's kind of just almost a habit because I love maybe the nostalgia of how it used to be and what I grew up in and witnessed from as a kid to even into like my mid and late 20s and stuff. And then things just started changing and it's just completely different. It's like, the streets are all the same and shit, but everybody is different. Yeah. And the people, for the most part, suck. You know, I deal with millions of people every day on the subway, back and forth. And like I said, I work right by Times Square. It's just it's cattle. It's fucking cattle. And it pisses me off. It's like, I get insane, bro. Like, we'll all get off. I get off at 42nd Street, Times Square every morning when I go to work. And I get out of the train, and there's two sets of staircases. And there'll be nobody coming down or going up one. It'll be everybody just waiting online to walk up the stairs. I'm like, it's like this weird herd cattle mentality. It's like, no one says you have to all wait. There's an empty staircase. Go up. Don't you have somewhere to be? You know what I mean? And it's like everyone's on their phone online slowly going down the fucking conveyor belt of people. It's like, I'm born and raised here, but I'm not like these people, bro. I'm not like them. No.
I grew up in LA in the San Fernando Valley, and I was just there for my 30-year high school reunion. And I get in a lift after I got off the train in Van Nuys and going up to Woodland Hills, and I want to get some provisions for the hotel room. I'm like, oh, there's a 7-Eleven right here on DeSoto and Ventura. Blah, blah, blah. So we pull up. I'm not looking. I'm on my phone. We pull in, and it's now a Chase Bank. And it's like, you don't pay attention to how much changes. And, you know, we end up driving to the hotel. I get out. It's a nice, you know, it's on Ventura Boulevard. But right behind the hotel is the Ventura Freeway, the 101 Freeway. And there's just campers and tents. Right behind where I used to play, where I used to, you know, ride my bike. And it's, you know, times are changing, man. It's nothing stays the same.
Nothing at all. The only thing that's constant is change. And like the New York was a shit show. I mean, you see the Fierce City logo, you know, that's based off of a real thing. The cops were handing out pamphlets, "Welcome to New York." Like, basically, stay off the fucking streets after when the sun goes down. Like, it's bad. And then through the 80s, it was a shithole. Even through the mid-90s, up to probably about 94, 95. And then it started to clean up. And then through the whole Giuliani era, it cleaned up. And then, Bloomberg, it cleaned up. And then it just went to shit again. It just went to shit. And it's reverting back. There's crazy people everywhere. There's homeless people everywhere. It's like the cops' hands are tied. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's just like, all right, well, hey, listen, let the city go to shit then. Eventually it'll come back because people will get fed up. And it
will come back.
Yeah.
I'm hoping. Yeah. I think everything's going to come back. And then
everything goes in the cycle. Everything goes in the circle, bro. It's true. But it's just shitty while it's in the middle of happening. It's like, come on, man. You know?
Yeah.
Get your act together. Stop acting like a fucking animal. You know, not anymore. Oh, shit. Yeah, man. So, like I was I was looking at like the layout of Cali, especially like San Francisco. I feel like San Francisco is a lot less confusing to me for some reason than LA. LA.
Oh, it is. Well, LA is 70 miles long from one end to the other. San Francisco is 7 miles long from the Embarcadero to the beach.
From the what to the beach?
The Embarcadero. That's where like Fisherman Wharf is and the Bay Bridge.
Okay.
You get off there and you go through San Francisco, even down Market Street, you're gonna end up at the ocean. But that's only 7 miles.
Okay.
Each way. So you can cover some ground.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm not worried about it anyway. Like I said, I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna have plenty of fucking time. You know, if I spend a full week in Cali, hey, what's the cat's name?
Soda Pop.
Of course it is.
I got another cat around here. His name's Pony Boy.
Of course. Why wouldn't it be? Do you have any other animals? Name it Capola or something?
No, I got another cat. Her name is Puma. And then I got a dog. His name's Henry.
Henry?
Henry Hill.
Oh, there you go. Hey, listen.
Hey.
I am a good fellas fucking guy.
No kidding. I love your good fellas smashes, you know.
Yeah.
You hit some spots, man. Like you're bang, bang, bang. And there
I go because I say great, I say it a lot on this podcast. I said it several times on this podcast because there's like something wrong with me, bro. there's something wrong. Because, well, I don't think it's something wrong.
No.
I'm not going to say the word obsessed is a little too extreme, but I get into like these pockets, I guess, where I was on like this mafia fucking rabbit hole. The mob hits. Yeah. And that literally can go on forever. Especially in New York. It can go on and on and on. I looked it up, dude, and I had to get away from it because I'd get obsessed with it. Because I looked up and there's somewhere around 350 either former or still active mafia social clubs or hangouts within the five boroughs.
Still.
It's still, well, former, well, ones that used to be or still active, both active. Within the five boroughs and Long Island. So I hit maybe like 25 of them and everyone's like, Jesus Christ, he's on a tear. That's like a fifth of what there really is. You know what I mean? So that can go on for years. I can do that shit. So, but after a while, it's like, okay, I do want to see other shit. So like the movie State of Grace, you saw all that. I went bananas on that.
Love one of my favorite Sean Penn movies, man.
Yeah, probably my favorite Gary Oldman performance. Jackie Flannery is batshit crazy and amazing.
With the hands?
Oh my God, dude. Amazing. Actually, that shot, I hit up Steve Mona. And I was like, listen, he's the busiest retired guy ever. Like on Sunday, he was in Green Bay at the fucking Packers game. And then like tomorrow he'll be in Cali or some shit. And then he's always busy. But when I nailed him down, I told him, when you get back and you have a minute, I want to hit this. But like he has found a handful of spots for me because I'll go batshit. And he has like this crazy photographic memory. And plus he was a cop for decades in the city. So he knows the ins and the outs. There'll be certain shit that I'll try for like a long time to try to get. And then I'll be like, yo, where is this? He'd be like, give me a minute. Boom. 2 seconds later. Oh, that's on the corner of blah, blah, blah. I'm like, how do you know that? You know what I mean? But I told him that I want to get that. I need to find exactly what rooftop that scene with the no hands is. And I need to get up to that fucking roof and get that shot. Can you imagine if I'm up there and that little room where the refrigerator is still there? Like, I would, I'm going to fucking try. If I have to climb a fucking fire escape, I'm going. I need to get that rooftop, dude.
It's like that one shot that I think it's called Columbus Cafe. You guys saw it might be in New York of Francis Ford Coppola in the window.
Yes.
And then you shot it to me and you said, hey, it's in San Francisco.
Yes.
This is the address.
Yeah.
I dragged my girlfriend out there to Chinatown because it's, you know, it's right above Little Italy and San Francisco is now Chinatown.
Yeah.
And found the spot, found the address, and it's an optometrist. It's not a cafe, it's an optometrist.
Right.
But in the reflection of the window, you can see across the street.
Yes.
And that's how I knew it was the exact spot.
I know.
I shot you a little video that day. Hey, da da da.
Yeah.
I'm right here. Thanks for the intel. But
yeah, isn't that crazy?
That's how we do it. I mean, it takes maybe 2-3 people to get that intel out.
Yeah. And you're going on, you're getting it, you're making sure that the spot is the correct spot by the reflection in the glass of a picture.
Reflections don't lie.
I know.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome, dude.
Fuck yeah.
Roman Goonies, brother.
Hell yeah. Speaking about the Goonies, you know, I went up to Astoria.
Mm.
Saw the Goonies house, saw the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Saw the jailhouse, went into the jail. It's like a film museum there.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I heard it was some kind of a museum.
It really kind of it looks exactly the way nothing has changed. It really hasn't. The house, I guess years ago, you get to the house, you couldn't, you know, trespass or, you know, da da da. Now it says Goonies, welcome, leave your car down, you know, at the sidewalk.
Oh, really?
There's a donation thing. So if you're taking pictures, you know, I dropped a twomp and I, you know, as soon as I dropped that twomp, I was like, not up on the porch, but just everywhere. Yeah. It was amazing. It was like looking, you're like on a movie set. It was surreal.
I love that feeling, dude. Like that's, and I'll be honest, like I don't get that feeling with every single thing that I hit. It's like, oh, it's cool. Yeah, that's cool. Oh, wow, that's kind of fucking cool that this happened here, whatever. But then there's times where you stop there for a minute and you're just like, yo, like,
that, now I'm
really like, what the fuck? This is fucking crazy.
How I felt, you know, another time I was up in Oregon, we went up to Brownsville where Stand By Me was filmed. And that town is exactly the same.
Yeah.
We went up to the treehouse or
Castle
the
tree, Rock.
Where the treehouse was, and I was there for like an hour just breathing and just looking around. That tree's bigger, and just, you know, I took a piece of bark from the tree that I still have some moss on it. I got to water it. It's just man, Brownsville is exactly the same. It was, you know, we went behind the diner where, you know,
of course,
Gordy shop, you know.
Who's lighting cherry bombs off out here?
Yeah,
of course. Yes.
So it's great. Or even, you know, going to the Outsider's house,
dude.
That adrenaline, that feeling you get, you know, it's intoxicating.
Yeah, man.
And you bring people along with you.
Yeah,
you know, and all of a sudden, you know, my girlfriend's mother's like, oh, this is where it was filmed. And we, you know, we watched the movie and now she's like, oh, you're going to do a smash here. And she's all into it. And,
yeah,
you know, I bring my girlfriend everywhere. I think the first smash I ever did was the Lost Boys smash years ago. And Jimmy, I did not put a label on it.
There was a time way back in the day where there was no logos.
Right.
But there's 95,000 logos now.
You got to put the logo on. If you don't want to put the logo on, go.
That's what sets it apart. That's what sets it apart from everyone else who does this. It bothers me.
I know.
It doesn't really bother me. I think.
No, I know, but it's
almost like become more of a thing now.
Not joke, but like, put that label on before Jimmy say something.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it even happened like that, but. And I'll even like post it, like in case you need one, and I'll post.
No, you always send a logo. Hey, here you go.
If you need one, have at it.
Edit your shit.
Yeah. Like there was a guy, there's a kid, Danny, who hit me up and he was like, yo, man, like basically maybe we can collab. I'm like, oh, whatever. And then he sent me a picture. He might even post it. He might even be posting it right as we're speaking. And it was the group called The Band. And he found the picture of them outside of a house and he sent me the
Oh, nice.
picture and he sent a whole bunch of pictures and I matched it for him right before I started here. I said, I put the logo on, I put the band logo and I sent it to him. So he's probably posting it right now. But yeah, it's like,
Yeah, that's
if you
nice. A
don't know
little
how to do
layup.
something, ask me. I'll help you out. I don't
Oh,
mind.
yeah.
I
Hell yeah.
enjoy doing all of this shit, man. If I can help you out, I'll
Yeah.
help you out. But don't be a jerk off.
Yeah. Well, you know Jeff Hayes from Seattle. Hayes.
Yes.
He I think he was in London or England, London, England, and there was a NWA shot that he didn't have his laptop and he posted two pictures like, can somebody help me out? I ended up smashing it,
Yeah.
put a logo on there, sended it to him, and he ended up posting it. And a year later, he hits me up. He's like, hey, I'm gonna be in LA. And we're gonna be taking a ride in the True Romance Cadillac. Do you want to
Sick.
come? And I'm like, yeah, I'll meet you down there.
Fuck
So
yeah.
I ended up meeting him in Hollywood, picked him up. We went to the Bronson Caves, did a Batman smash from the cave,
Yeah, I
and
want to see,
then.
it's been done, but I
Oh
want to
yeah, I know
see
exactly where all that stuff is, bro.
it.
I mean,
Yeah,
I
I
went
want
to
to
the
see
location.
it for myself, you know what I mean? And be
Yeah.
experience for myself. That's why like a lot of people are like, oh, that's been done. That's been done. Who cares?
No,
Yeah,
you
I
can
want to
do it
see
better.
it, enjoy it myself. You know what I mean? I want that
Exactly.
experience. I don't care. Like, listen, I say it all the time also. The end result is the smash that we post. There's so much
Right.
of the shit that goes on that's not up online. It's just what you're hanging with either your girl or your friends or a bunch of people. Or like when I come out, it's like there's gonna be times where it's gonna be like me and you and my daughter, and then there's gonna be like me and Randy Shinofsky and my daughter and me and maybe you and Danny Johnson and my daughter and me. We'll go all fucking hit a spot. You know, my daughter wants to see the Scream House. You know, I know
Oh,
that you just hit
I
the
will
Scream.
take you guys there.
Right.
It's
She wants to see
man,
Scream. I want to see it too.
it's not the destination, it's the journey.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And oh yeah. But just to go a step further with that story, we leave the Bronson Caves, we go to Hollywood, right down the hill, and we go to the underpass where they did the check your head shot.
Love it. On the
Like
curb.
on the curb,
Yeah.
and it's for some reason there was not homeless camps right there that day. It smelled like piss, smelled like, but I sat there and we took pictures and we got out of there quick, but and then we ended up going to the Safari Motor Inns, the Safari Motor Hotel in
Yes.
Burbank, and that
Nice.
place is exactly the same. You walk in. They're, in the lobby of the motel, there's two little birds. One's name's Clarence, the other one is Alabama.
That's
And you
fucking
go outside and
awesome.
there's pictures of all the movies that were filmed there. I forget what other stuff was filmed there. But we're sitting there just waiting for the ride, and all of a sudden, Clarence pink Cadillac comes rolling up.
Sick.
And it was crazy. We hopped in the back. I'm filming, we're leaving the hotel or the motel, and it's just like going down Burbank, and it was surreal.
Yeah.
The little things people don't think about doing. Hey, I was in that actual Cadillac. Like, somebody went and bought that Cadillac, restored it, that way it was exactly the way it looked, screen ready,
Yeah.
and it was nuts. We went, I think, 3.5 hours of all these locations,
Wow.
even hit up it wasn't just True Romance. We ended up hitting up the Halloween house,
Course.
the
Nightmare on Elm
Freddy.
Street House.
Yes, it's all right. Oh man, it
All
was
right there.
thrilling.
Yeah. All those things are like I want to hit. Like I want to hit the Poltergeist house. My daughter wants to go to the ET house. It's like
I know that's all in Simi Valley.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
I can't wait, dude. And it's like you were saying, like when you were standing there at the Safari Inn and you're taking it all in and you're having a moment there and then you see the Cadillac pull up. It's like those are the like little things. We're always such in a rush a lot of times. At least I know I am in the city and stuff. I kind of have to consciously like stop myself and take in a moment. You know what I mean? This is because I'm geared just always on the go. But it's like, and I've said this several times on this podcast as well. It's like I consciously took a second to shut my brain up and enjoy the moment because it was a moment that I'll probably, well, eventually, maybe next summer, I'll get that opportunity again. But in the moment, I never thought I would be in the same exact position that I was in. And I was laying down in the greaser hideout across the street from the outsider's house. And I'm laying there and it's like 2 o'clock in the morning and there's two bedrooms. So I'm in the back bedroom. And then if you look to your left, you could kind of see the other bedroom. And on that, you could see the bed. And on that bed, there's a huge outsider's house throw blanket, right? So that's there. I'm across the street from the outsider's house. I'm in the house right across the street. There's a stained gold neon. I'm watching the outsiders. And it's like 2 in the morning. And then I hear the fucking freight train go by.
Train.
And it was so quiet. And I shut out everything. And I just took in that 20 seconds that I could hear the train go by. And I took in all of my surroundings in the moment. And it was just like fucking surreal, dude. Like growing up watching it and just, you know, and my daughter loving it. And just being in that situation that I do through planning and this and that, I put myself in that position and then that happened. It was perfect. It was like a perfect. Yeah amazing. And that's the kind of shit that I enjoy the most when I find certain things. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why I want to do all these road trips every year. I've never done something like that except for this past year. And now every year it's going to be a different, you know, journey somewhere in the country. You know, maybe in 2 years from now, maybe I'll do like the more like the northern United States. You know what I mean? Maybe start out at Seattle and go all the way over the top and, you know, hit, you know, like, whatchamacallit, the fucking Goonie spot.
In Oregon. Astoria.
Yeah.
Once like you're in Oregon, man, it's all right there.
Right.
It's like all of that. Within 3 hours away.
Yeah, and I'm sure I can map out things all the way to drive my ass all the way back into New York, just hit the whole top, you know? Like, who knows? Yeah. Like, it doesn't even matter. It's like, whatever you it is, it's a different trip.
You have to, it's not in Oregon, but it's the one scene that was shot in California. It's the in Burning Falls from Stand By Me, the train dodge.
Oh, where they hell jump. Yeah.
That's like 3 hours away from me. Me and my girlfriend, we went up there for a day just to get some shots.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
And the only thing that's shot in California is Ferris Bueller's house.
From Ferris Bueller?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, everything else is in Chicago, but Ferris Bueller's house is California. And it looks exactly the same. Because I get the address and you put it into Google Maps and you look at Street View. It's the same house, dude.
Yeah. You know, I think right down the street, you can find the Griswold's house from the original Vacation. That was also shot in LA. Yeah.
The original. Yeah. Okay.
The original. Where he's backing up and everything.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
Watch those freeways.
Yeah. Yo. See, I can't wait to come out there, man. Even though I'm going to be confused and it's going to be completely different, obviously, from the last thing I did, because where I went this last time, there was no traffic anywhere.
Oh, forget about it.
But I'm from New York.
Ridiculous here.
I know. Well, New York is pretty fucking bad, too. So it's not going to be anything really bad. But I'm sure, see, I'm mentally prepared for that. So it's fine. I'm sure once I get out of California and start going down to like New Mexico and Arizona, then up to Tulsa or whatever. It's all just nothing.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. Going 80 miles an hour on a Texas highway and people are flying past you on a Monday at like 8 o'clock in the morning when it's supposed to be rush hour and there's nobody else on the road. It's fucking surreal too. It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. So when are you going to come out?
I don't have the exact date yet, but it's going to be between mid-July and early August.
Nice. Well, make sure you let me know, bro. That way I can.
Dude, I have plans to. I got to meet up with you. I got to meet up with Danny Johnson. I got to meet up with Nocco. I got to meet up with Randy Shinofsky.
Yes.
Who am I forgetting? I'm sorry who I'm forgetting, but there's somebody else, I believe. But yeah, I have to. You know, we're going fucking. Like, there's a bunch in LA that I need to hit, a lot in LA. Even my daughter, you know, like Venice Beach. I need to go to Venice Beach. There's so much stuff in Venice Beach I need to hit.
Well, it's cool. Sometimes you're hitting a spot in LA. Like I went to Griffith Park Observatory to do Rebel
Terminator.
Rebel Without a Cause shots.
Terminator?
Terminator 2, yeah. But yes, the original, you know what?
The original Terminator.
But right there, you know,
it's on my list, dude.
There's a Beastie Boy shot there, but I from the same shot I did a Rebel Without a Cause, and then same photo I did an LL Cool J Welcome Back to Cali shot, and then right over to the left is the Sabotage shot from the Beastie Boys, where it's like a scene of LA, and it says Sabotage. All right there. So that's, you know, that's the beauty about going to some spots. You know, a lot of places have had a lot of films shot in the exact same location.
Oh, yeah, well, it's like you guys in California, it's never ending. Like me, like we're lucky. Like I could hit a spot. I could hit 10 spots every single day for the rest of my life and not even put a dent in shit. You know what I mean? I find things almost every day. That I have in my phone. It's like, okay, I just don't have enough time. You know what I mean? I try to make as much time as possible. You see, what sucks about the winter is I go to work and it's dark. I get out and it's dark. You know what I mean? But that doesn't necessarily even stop me. It's like, if it's a night shot, I'll fucking hit it up at night. So it's more, you know, authentic. Like when we were in Tulsa, it was the shot at the end of the outside is when Dally's getting shot on the opposite side of Crutchfield Park.
Right.
That was at night. That was like midnight. There's straight dogs running around fucking Tulsa and shit. And I'm on that corner and it was at night. And I did it on purpose because it's a nighttime shot. You know what I mean? So it kind of
I did that same shot during the day, but then I smashed it, you know, at night. It played. But,
of course.
That's a dangerous little area to be walking around late night because of the stray dogs.
Yeah.
And, you know, other stuff going on. But, yeah. You know, they'll come right up to you and try to bite you.
I know. Yeah, I told the story. I almost got attacked by two stray dogs in Dyess, Arkansas. It was fucking brutal, dude. Yeah, I had my hand. It was a couple of miles down this fucking gravel road towards Johnny Cash's childhood home. But there's like in Dyess, Arkansas, there's like 12 people there. And there's like this little area where there's like the Dyess movie theater and like this all historic little tiny little area. And everything is super old. And then there's one building that's all dilapidated and the roof is coming in. But I did research and the movie Walk the Line, you know, the Johnny Cash movie.
Yeah.
In that one dilapidated building is literally where Johnny Cash's brother got fatally injured. And they actually filmed the depiction of that in that actual structure.
Oh,
but,
nice.
Yeah, but it's all destroyed and there's broken windows and there's like plywood over the windows. So like the our rental truck is on one side of like this little half circle. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I get out of the car and I hear dogs in the distance barking, but I'm like, yeah, they're in somebody's backyard. Whatever. They're on a leash. On a chain in someone's yard, whatever. So I'm taking my little picture, like, you know, history pictures, not even anything to mash, just take a picture of everything. And I'm walking And as I'm walking, I see running. You ever see when a dog runs so fast, they're super low to the ground? Yeah. Well, there's two of them, and they run behind the building that I'm going towards to see if I can get a shot of inside of it. I go, and I'm walking, and then they both run from around the building, and they stop and look at me. And I'm like, I have my phone in my hand. I'm like, don't look nervous and don't run. So I get my balls up and I fucking stare at them both. I just stare at them with like a mean face. And they look at me, and it was kind of funny, dude. They look at me, then they look at each other, and they look at me again, and they just stay there. And I just started slowly backed up. Slowly, and I walked backwards looking at them towards the car, and then they went away. So I got back in the truck. I went around the little half circle. I made sure the coast was clear. I opened the door really slow because I need to get this shot. I'm not leaving because there's two dogs. I'm not. So I open up the door, and there, I don't know what's in this fucking abandoned building. I don't know. It's getting dark out. So I kind of pull one of the plywood off, and I'm looking in the window, and I see nothing. So I take my hand, I put my phone behind the fucking thing. My hand is in this building. I don't know if something's going to grab it. I don't know what's in it. And I just start taking a whole bunch of pictures. And I'm like, I don't know if I got it, because I kind of knew the angle that I needed for the screenshot. And I got back in the car. But that would have been awesome if I would have got attacked by two stray dogs in Dias, Arkansas. You know, I would have had some of those little wounds and scars, you know, to go along with the story. But yeah, man, I was like, what's with all the stray dogs and all these little shit-kicking little small towns, man?
Man.
Yeah. But I got my shot, and that's all that matters. I don't care.
I love that. Well, that's another thing. When you're at the Outsiders House, or, you know, North Tulsa, you can hear the train. You can hear the dogs. It's almost like Francis just like captured the sound. And you go there, it's like, that's what you're hearing. Yeah. And same thing when you go to Santa Cruz, you know, for the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
You go onto that boardwalk, you can hear the roller coaster. You can hear the amusement.
The carousel.
All that stuff, you know.
Is that carousel? Is it the same carousel that's in the movie?
Yes, with the horses.
It's the same.
The horses have changed,
right?
Because I actually did. I mean, if you go on my thing, you can see, you know,
yeah,
a couple of smashes. I found the exact spot where Kiefer is walking, and you know, what's cool about that smash is I took it, and then years later, Kiefer Sutherland was staying at the hotel I work at because he was performing in his band here in town in Petaluma. So I made a copy of my smash, waited in line, and at the end of the show, I showed it to him. He was like, wow, that's really cool. He signed it for me.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, yeah. Yeah. But that's one thing about Santa Cruz, man. You can basically smell the cotton candy. You can smell the boardwalk. You can smell like the ocean.
They might not even be accessible. I wouldn't think they would be, but maybe they are. What about the caves?
Those caves, I heard, are actually down in Southern California.
Okay.
But like the bridge. Okay, so that bridge where they're hanging?
Yes.
That is, okay, so there is a bridge that looks just like that north of the boardwalk. But they did not film that scene there. They filmed it in Santa Clarita, right across the freeway, the 5 freeway from Magic Mountain. So if you're on the 5 freeway and you look over at the roller coasters, you look over to your left and you can actually see the actual bridge where they filmed the Lost Boys hanging.
Really?
So I hit up both bridges.
Yeah.
The first one I hit was in Santa Cruz, which was the wrong one, but I did a nice smash.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool, but it was the wrong bridge.
I've done that. Listen, I've done that, and I take it down. I'm like, gosh, shit, it's not the right spot.
Yeah.
Wow. See, it's like old movie magic shit, bro.
Absolutely. Just like in, you know, Stand By Me. I think there's 3 or 4 bridges. I think I've hit every single one. Pretty sure. But if these kids actually walked from Brownsville all the way to every bridge, it would have taken them a lot more than, you know, Labor Day weekend.
Of course, I mean,
it's like hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Of course, dude.
And that's just so amazing. That's movie magic.
Yeah, it's like in Rocky. It's like in Rocky when he's running and he goes to the Italian market and he goes here and then he runs up to the museum steps. Like, if you actually ran that, like, that's all over. Like, that's everywhere. It doesn't even make sense. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because Monty from Oklahoma, he grew up in Brownsville. So when I was on my way to Oregon, I think 3 years ago, it was during Christmas, I was hitting him up. Hey, where's this scene? Where's that scene? And he's like, that's not in Brownsville. I thought it was all right there. I thought it was all, you know, I thought you could leave. Yeah. And then you're walking down, you know, it's all spread out all through Oregon, all through, you know, down to California. Nice.
Yeah, I gotta give Monty a little shout out because he met. He's like, give me your address, and I gave him my address, and he sent me a piece of wood from one of the railroad ties from the Stand By Me bridge.
Really? That's not. You know what? He's a good solid guy.
Yeah.
I think all of us are pretty solid. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I met him when I was in Tulsa.
Me too.
Yeah, good man.
It was freezing. Last time I was in Tulsa, I met Harpo, which was a big deal to me because, you know, we've been, you know, from Arkansas, Little Rock, you know, meeting Monty. And then, of course, you know, seeing Danny again, which is always a pleasure. You know, I grew up with Danny down in L.A. My sister was really, really good friends with him. Okay. I was, you know, probably 4 or 5 years younger. But, you know, being in the eighth grade and going to high school football games, you know, and knowing that, you know, Ice Cube goes to school here and, you know, Danny Boy wasn't Danny Boy, the rapper then, but he was definitely a big deal, man. Like, you know, he was in a club, a gang called the Mickey Mouse Club down in the Valley. And these guys, man, were, you know, they would wear the Dickies and they were tapered, but then they were kind of like up a little high so you can see white socks and they wore like really bright, shiny black shoes, pressed white t-shirts and shit. And, you know, driving lowered VW bugs. And it was just such a crazy time. And he always had, you know, I remember the first time I met Danny, I went to a party. I was probably in the eighth grade or ninth grade with my sister and he was working the door. You know, it was maybe $5-$10 back then. Yeah, at the door. And my sister was like, oh, this is my little brother. And I just, one of the first thing Danny says to me was, you know, I'm going to be the next Beastie Boy or something like that. Just, you know, because he was into rapping and this, that, and the other. And maybe a year or two later, my sister had a big poster of House of Pain and Danny signed it. It was the cover of the first album.
Yeah.
It was way before the album ever came out.
Really?
And then, you know, Cypress Hill hit, and then he hit, House of Pain hit, and it was just like, wow, you know, man. Like, just the, you know, people, you know, in junior high, in the sixth grade, maybe the second day, I look over, and in my homeroom, because, you know, everything was in alphabetical order, so like A through maybe C or D, you're all in one. I look over and I see Jeff Cohen, Chunk from the Goonies.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, you know, we became friends and everything. And he stopped acting and all that good stuff. I think, you know, he's an entertainment lawyer these days, but that wouldn't be too common, you know, or uncommon.
Yeah.
You know, you go to the UA movie theater and I remember seeing, not Jeff Cohen, but who played Mouth?
It's Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman. I see Corey Feldman everywhere. I remember seeing Corey Feldman getting picked on, you know, for being like an actor. It wasn't like cool back then, or maybe, you know, I don't know. But I just, you know, stuff like that. My first kiss was Kidada Jones. That's Quincy Jones's daughter.
Oh, shit.
And Quincy Jones's daughter went to a private school with my sister, and she was a little bit older, but she'd come over, and I think she was a year older than me.
Yeah.
And we ended up like having a little, you know, peck or something, but it was like my first peck.
Yeah.
You know?
I was gonna ask you how like you like found this whole Delta Bravo thing and stuff like that, but I didn't realize that your sister was really good friends with Danny and that you knew
him. There's another, well, real quick, Danny was probably, it was probably 93, and Danny comes over. I was back from college. I went to college in San Diego. It was like the summer of 93. He rolls up in his Range Rover at the time, blowing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, House of Pain was in 93, House of Pain was fucking huge.
Yeah, so it was like a big, and I'm outside, you know, we're smoking weed. He pulls up the driveway, and everyone's like, Danny, I'm like, yeah, it's fucking Danny. Da, da. He goes in, does whatever with my sister, you know, talking or whatever, maybe, you know, an hour or so. We go into his Range Rover, and, you know, CD players were a big deal back then.
Sure.
We press inject. Out comes out Ill Communication, the Beastie Boys. And this is probably 6 months before it came out. I jacked that shit. We were bumping that shit all summer. And I hope Danny doesn't get mad at me after hearing this. He probably didn't even miss it. But that's one of the things. Me and my boys were just talking about it.
Did you just confess to stealing Danny Boy's pre-release Ill Communication disc?
I did. And that is an absolute story, bro. But just that wasn't uncommon just to have things like that around where, you know, and I think at the time he was probably dating Punky Brewster.
Right.
You know, he had blonde hair but that was Danny, you know, everybody like, oh, I saw Danny last night, or I remember going to a club later in life and I hadn't seen him for a while. And he was like, hey, what's up with your sister? Da, da. Let me get her number. Let me get your number. And he pulls out this little black book from his back pocket. It was before cell phones and everything. And he's like, this is what I do. And he, you know, wrote down our numbers. And it was just, that was just Danny, you know, always a cool fucking like leader, you know? Yeah. So I've been, you know, following around Danny since I was a little boy, rightfully said.
Yeah.
And, you know, he opened up a clothing store in Reseda on Ventura Boulevard. Well, actually, must have been Tarzana. And I forgot the name of it, but he would sell these t-shirts. And he had a brand called Weedwear. It was the first time anybody put, like, the weed logo.
Yeah.
And, you know, House of Pain would wear it. Cypress Hill would wear it. You know, I used to go to the warehouse. I think it was in Chatsworth where they, you know, held all the stuff. And we used to skate and... You know what I mean? It was a fun time, bro.
Yeah, man. Back in the day, like how old are you?
I just turned 48.
I'm 46.
So 1974.
I'm 75, okay? I just turned 46 in September. You know, so it's the same. It's that time frame, dude, is... It'll never, ever, ever, ever happen again. It'll never be duplicated ever again. Everything is just completely different. It was a whole different mindset. We were younger, but that whole era of music and there was no cell phones. There was no evidence of shit. You know, Jesus Christ. If there was phones back then, a lot of people would be in trouble. You know what I mean? There was so much shit compared to what was funny and what was cool back then. Now I still find it to be funny and cool, but nowadays people frown upon a lot of that shit. But I mean, it was an amazing, fun, and at times very insane and hectic time.
It was a hectic time, but it was so much fun.
It was a lot of it, at least for me. It was hectic, but a lot of it was innocent debauchery.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I really didn't. I see your wheels are turning.
There's so much I want to say. We could probably do it the next time. Yeah. But, you know, but wow, man. I just, the things I've seen, the things I know about. And
yeah, dude.
The things I keep to myself. What's the statute of limitation? You know, somebody get mad if I brought this up.
Right. Of course. You got to be careful. You know, people are like, why you bring up that shit? You know, whatever. But you know, I got kids now, whatever.
You know? I'm very fortunate to grow up in that time. And
me too, dude.
We both everything. Witness, you know, before hip hop's became to suck. And, you know, I can't listen to new music. I can't really listen to, you know, it's... I don't like it anymore.
No,
you know,
like, me neither.
I,
it takes a lot to like impress me or for me to be like, well, all right, like, I'll revisit this. Like, it takes a lot. You know what I mean? Like, I'll listen to like the new like Slain and Ill Bill stuff and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But, like, radio plays, like, hell no. Mm-hmm. Like, the shit that was on the radio when we were coming up is, it's still the good shit. It's the classic shit. The stuff that's on the radio now will never be classic because all these kids, they won't even remember it in 5 years. Or they'll be like, oh, I can't believe I used to listen to that. Like, what? Like, I'll put on the first Cypress Hill record right now and it's just as good now as it was then. You know what I mean? You know, House of Pain shit, same as it ever was. That fucking record is ridiculous from beginning to end.
Yes,
you know what I mean? And I can listen to it all the time. It doesn't get old. It's classic. It's timeless shit. There was something about that era that put out gem after gem after gem. And that will never be duplicated. All the live shows, all the craziness, all that. Just very fortunate, dude. Super fortunate.
Yes. Lucky enough to have been able to see Cypress Hill and House of Pain in concert together.
Me too.
Yes, me too. I saw it down in Irvine the night. It was the night after River Phoenix passed away. I think it was November 1st of the day. Yeah, back in whatever year.
Yeah.
But what a you know, I'm sitting there. I'm probably on shrooms. I mean, this was like in the 90s. And
you don't have to tell me. I was on a head full of acid.
Fucking stage. And I just remember Danny just rapping. He's just like looking out at probably like thousands of people. I see his look in his eyes. And I just remember thinking, he fucking made it. He loves what he's doing. About a second later, I see, you know, half of my crew jumping off the stage, stage diving.
Yeah.
And I got pissed because I'm like, how come they're backstage? Like, what is
that? Yeah. Yeah. I saw them. Yeah. I'm almost positive I still have the ticket stub. It was the Soul Assassins tour, or I believe it was. Dude, it was Funk Dubious, House of Pain, Cypress Hill, Beastie Boys.
Yes.
The same show at Roseland Ballroom. Like, what? I saw Biohazard open up for House of Pain, like at the Palladium. I saw it was they weren't even on the bill, but I'm like, who is this? The next thing you know, 15 bald black dudes fucking rushed the stage and it was Onyx. So and I'd never even heard of them. Like a week later, I see the Throw Your Guns video on MTV. So it was Onyx, House of Pain, Ice-T, Public Enemy. I'm like, that shit. And like, I still have the ticket stuff. It was like $12.50, like for the ticket. It's like,
that's nuts.
It's insane, bro. Like Onyx, House of Pain, Ice-T, Public Enemy. What? And it was so late. It came on. So everyone was so late. It was like, because probably Flavor Flav was on his shit or whatever. But like, the doors opened at like 9 o'clock. Back in the day, the doors would open at 9. Show starts at 10. It'd be 8 bands on them. You know what I mean? And we all did it like that. Nowadays, forget it. That shit doesn't happen, you know? And I think Onyx came on. It was like midnight or something, or like 1 o'clock in the morning. Like everyone was just like, what's happening? There's nobody. There's just music playing in the venue for hours and hours and hours. And the next thing you know, fucking Onyx comes on. Everyone was like, who is this? They're not even on the bill. But it was Onyx.
I remember when they came out. That was nuts. That,
yeah.
That, what, 92, 93?
Yeah, had to have been 90. I'm gonna say that was 92. I have the ticket stuff. I didn't know we'd be talking about this, or else I'd be prepared. But yeah. I'm almost positive I had the ticket stub.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, but I don't even think House of Pain might not even be on the because it was like a Ticketmaster, like the blue light blue ticket, and I'm not even sure if House of Pain is even listed on it. I think it might just say Ice-T Public Enemy, maybe. Now I gotta start going into the archives and checking it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Shows like that will never happen again. You know, you have your whole Rock the Bells and your big, huge tours and stuff, but
right.
There's something about maybe because I'm just looking at it from my perspective but on a nostalgia thing, but like, you know, that was a time that could the magic, right. I think, now is gone. But maybe these kids nowadays feel the same way as we did. I don't know. But maybe we could just be the older people, get off my fucking lawn type, you know?
Get off my, yep, absolutely. Yeah. I remember going to Lollapalooza 94.
Yep, I went 93 and 94.
And it was Green Day, Beastie Boys at the very end. Everybody, you know, all the
Smashing
stuff.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Smashing Pumpkins. People throwing mud. People having heat strokes.
Yeah.
You know, because this was down in L.A.
Yeah.
Or UC Davis, not UC Davis, I forget. But yeah, man, just I went 2 days in a row. But I remember at the very end, Beastie Boys, I forgot what song they played. They walked off and said, da, 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 and everybody kind of was like, you know, still going. And then they came back and played Sabotage.
Sick.
And it was just like,
yeah.
That's when it was just like, it's like, it just got started, but that was like the last one.
I went to Lollapalooza 93, which was insane. And I went to Lollapalooza 94 and I had a Beastie Boys moment there at the time. Listen, whatever. I was on a whole bunch of acid, bro. I was ripping my face off. It happens. It does. It did, actually. It doesn't happen anymore. I'm scared of that shit now. I'd be scared. But, fuck that, bro. I'm nervous. I can't even smoke pot. I'd be scared. I can't do I don't do nothing anymore. I'm, like, boring. Anyway, the sun was, like, kind of going down. It was kind of, like, dusk. And Beastie Boys came on. They opened up with Sure Shot. The place went fucking bananas. And there was a certain part. I've told the story, not even on the podcast, just to people in general. Just because the moment that I had, they put on the beat to Paul Revere. And it's still one of the things, like if you mentioned like one of the craziest things at a concert or whatever, it's always pops right in my head because of my mental state and exactly what was happening in front of me. We're at Randall's Island. I'm going to say there was probably about 70 to 80,000 people there. And it's all general admission. There's no seats. There's no nothing. So the sun is kind of going down. I am just, I'm on another planet, you know, mentally, but I'm so tuned into everything. And Paul Revere beat comes on, that reverse fucking bass shit. Not one of the Beastie Boys said a word. Not a fucking word. Ad-Rock didn't say, here's a little story. Nothing. They had their microphones out, and the whole crowd from beginning to end in unison recited and did every single line to that song from beginning to end. And I was in the middle of that shit, and I'm just like, this is something right now. And I'm trying to put myself in the position of one of the Beastie Boys, of like MCA, for instance. What that must have felt like for them in front of all these people to not have to say one word and you have 80,000 people in the palm of your hand reciting every single word perfectly that entire song. It was something to fucking witness, dude.
Yeah, I could imagine, bro. That must have been nice, dude.
It was crazy. It was definitely a fucking moment. I'll never forget that. Certain things you just can't forget. I had a Beastie Boys moment I'll never forget.
I love it.
Yeah, dude.
I love it.
Yes. Me too. It's fucking good times, man. I could talk nostalgia and all this shit all day long, man.
Me too.
And then like back then too, Well, I guess they have their own little festivals nowadays and shit, but you know, and then my 90s, you know, my 90s ended in the summer of 99. I mean, I went to Woodstock 99 and for the bad rap that gets from all the documentaries and everything, I don't know. I do know. Well, certain things I don't know. Maybe the path that I took and where I was walking and shit, was it filthy? Yeah. I left before it got chaotic on Sunday. But once I got home, I had like the hot box, you know, the cable box with the chip where you get the free pay-per-view right. Shit.
That's so, what I was going to say. I was watching that the whole weekend on pay-per-view.
I got home. The first thing I did, I got home. I took a shower. I grabbed a Heineken. I rolled a joint. I sat on my living room couch. I put the TV on, and the place was on fire. My ex-girlfriend, I'm like, Allie, what the fuck is happening here?
Why did they give everybody candles?
Bro, that's so insane. What the fuck? But I was prepared for class, dude. I had an amazing time. Was it hot? Absolutely. I had fucking sunblock, though. I had sunblock. I had money in my pocket because I didn't think I was going to get food or water or anything for free. I did get lucky because in the beginning, they were taking everybody's shit at the gate, like water and stuff like that. They had just raided or did something with the gates. Me and my ex-girlfriend, I walked in through the front gate with like a fucking 4-foot red igloo cooler on wheels. Pulled it right in. Bro, I had toilet paper. I had cold cuts. I had a jar of mustard and mayo. I had bagels. I had Heinekens. I had food, bro. I threw food away at the end. I had bagels. I was making turkey and Swiss on bagels, bro. I had everything. I had beers. People were looking at me like I was nuts. I had 22-ounce bottles of Heineken. I'm walking through the crowd with a deuce of Heineken. Just chilling. Like, I was chilling. I had the greatest time. Was it hot? Fuck yeah, it was. But I expected it to be. It was better than rain. I put sunblock and dealt with that. Did I have a sunburn? Yeah. But I'm so happy. It sounds silly, but I'm grateful that I was actually there and I experienced Woodstock 99. But yeah. I don't have a bad experience with it. I thought good. I had the greatest time. I wasn't part of the fuckery. I wasn't destroying anything. I was high the whole weekend. I was with my ex-girlfriend, and we went there to go watch bands and hang out. I was in my tent. I had a pillow. I had a sleeping bag. I was comfortable, bro.
Right.
Prepared for class.
So were you there when Limp Bizkit came on?
I was there. That was the first and the only time that me and my ex-girlfriend got separated. Because Alanis Morissette was on. That was on the main stage, on the big stage, on the East stage. And Alanis Morissette was on. And during her entire set, everybody's just screaming, bring on Limp Bizkit, Limp Bizkit. And you can see that there was jerk-offs in the crowd. There were jerk-offs. You could tell, oh, you're a jock douchebag. Like, you say you're into heavy music, but it's Limp Bizkit. But you have, like, your New York Giants Jeremy Shockey jersey and your Oakley Glad, like you're a douchebag, like you're a potential problem. Like I know what kind of a guy you are. Like you give people like me like a bad rap, you know what I mean? And you know, it's like settle down. And when Limp Bizkit came on, the crowd went fucking apeshit. But I couldn't see, like you see like the documentaries, you see like a completely different perspective. I'm in the middle of it, so you can only see so much around you. I know it's I know it's packed, I know it's hot, but the place, it was like water. The whole place just started moving and you couldn't do anything about it but move with it. So we were standing next to each other, and as soon as they came on, I'll never forget it, dude. I still have it pictured in my head. All of a sudden I see her fade away and disappear into people. And she's like, oh my God. And she disappeared. She disappeared in people.
Frightening.
Yeah. But once again, we had a plan. We weren't stunad. I said, if we get separated throughout any time of this, give it an hour to 2 hours tops, meet back at the tent. Boom. That's it. So that all happened. I hung out for a little while. I really wasn't too familiar at the time with Limp Bizkit. I knew who they were. I wasn't a giant fan. And then I headed back towards the tent. She wasn't there yet. I'm smoking pot with other people in other tents. They came from Michigan, this place. I don't know these people. Everyone's sharing joints. I'm hanging out. She comes back. We hang out, whatever. And then I got – we hung out there for a little while. I heard there was another band on that came on or whatever. And then it was almost time for Rage Against the Machine. And I had shorts and a T-shirt or a tank top on or whatever. And then Rage Against the Machine, I put on my Timberlands and my carpenter jeans and my wife beater and my hat.
Fucking good move.
And I went all the way back down to the E stage, and I was on a lot of acid. But it was pretty crazy being in the middle of this whole mosh pit and mixing it up and dancing and shit in with 300,000 people. There's 9 mosh pits going on. I'm dead center during Rage. Was a fucking moment, bro. I'm in the middle and all I see is just, it's just, and you can kind of look a little bit like in the, I'm in the middle of over a quarter of a million people, and it was fucking something. It was something.
Yeah, that energy that you feel when you're, I've been at concerts where that happens, that whole wave, and it's frightening. It's like you can't breathe, you can't move. It's just
fun. You just got to go with the flow. So that's when you just relax and just go with the fucking flow and enjoy the fucking moment, and that's it. Don't be worried, because that's when shit goes wrong and you start getting overly cautious. But there were certain parts, like during Rage, like there were certain parts where there was kind of open spots where the pits were. You know what I mean? So it wasn't like, I wasn't, sandwiched in. So it was you could breathe a little bit and you could
it's crazy if you're at a concert and you got to go to a pit to get safe.
Right? And that's what it was. It was at night. It was awesome. I watch that footage every once in a while. It's fucking amazing. I love it. And you look at the whole set is on YouTube, and it's like 8 different cameras, and there's cameras on cables above the crowd. And it's like, I'll watch that. I'm like, I was in there somewhere.
That's awesome.
And of course I'm guilty. I'll try to look. You can't see me. You know what I mean? 300,000 people. I don't even remember where I was in that thing, but I was in the middle of that somewhere. But that's definitely awesome. Things that can never be recreated, bro. And I'm glad to say that. They shouldn't be. No, you can't recreate that. No. You can try, but it's just going to be a carbon copy and it's going to be a failure compared to it. Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Anything on your list?
I know, bro.
Anything before I wrap it up, anything on your list that you want to go hit? What's your number one bucket list spot? No matter where it is in the country, what's the spot that you haven't hit that you need to hit, your number one spot?
Wow. I'm really not. I don't think I have a number one spot, because if I do have a number one spot and then I hit it, then it's almost like then it's over.
Right.
So right.
I have a current spot that I know is top priority. And then once that's over, I'm sure that there's a whole bunch that will be next top priority.
It's probably the beginning of Rebel Without a Cause.
Okay.
James Dean is lying in the street and he's playing with this little toy monkey. And there's a house right behind him and he's just all lit up. And I think it might have been done before. It's somewhere in LA. But that's probably, James Dean is a big deal for me. River Phoenix, big deal for me. I did hit up, the Viper Room a couple times and, where he passed and, kind of did not really a smash because I wasn't really sure exactly where it was. But at the time, there was still a phone booth there where Joaquin Phoenix made that call about his brother dying. So I did that. That was a big deal for me. But probably anything, we're even going to James Dean's crash site, out there in Paso Robles.
Yeah,
and I did a couple smashes, but just like being where he died and just looking around, and you pick up on the energy,
I need to hit up Spawn Ranch.
That's one thing I have not done. I, you know,
I need that. That is bucket list.
Yeah. Well, maybe when you're down in LA, I can meet you down there for sure. Well, when you're out in California, you know, you'll probably be up here a day or so, and then go down to LA with your daughter. I'm down to like hit up locations up here for you with you a day or so, and then when you guys, you know, venture off,
come down and
I'm gonna wind up. I mean, I know there's some spots, dude, like Chisum Studios, you know, where
past the mic video.
Yeah.
That staircase, I would love.
That staircase, you know, there's a gate, but an iron gate that's closed. But the day me and Jeff Hayes were there, they were doing some construction, and it was just the construction workers. So we just, you know, just went up the steps. I jumped onto that roof and but that was another day where I wasn't really into like just taking pictures. I was like, wow, looking around. I wish I would have, you know, had some stuff to mash up or to line up, but I wasn't really like,
I was just
like in the now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I need to walk around Spawn Ranch and just take all that shit in, and obviously go to the Wave Cave and shit like that. And I got to hit up Danny Boy because I know that Danny Boy knows where, I believe there's an abandoned Manson bus that's still out somewhere in Death Valley.
Oh wow,
that's something that I need to go and like rip a piece of the seat off or something. I need a piece of the steering wheel or something.
Death Valley, you know, if you're out there in Death Valley, you can hit up like the Return of the Jedi locations. It's all out there.
Yeah,
still pretty much the same. I think Pease is always hitting it up.
That I'm gonna say right now, Spawn Ranch is that spot for me. Yeah.
Right on.
Let me throw out my sponsors.
Yes.
Dead Sled Coffee. Go to deadsledcoffee.com and type in the promo code Delta Bravo, and you will get 20% off of your order. Follow them on Instagram at Dead Sled Coffee. Kevin Bednar's fellow Delta Bravo brother. He owns three pubs, the Asheville Pub, the Percival Pub, and Percival Eats. Two of them are in Percival, Virginia, and one is in Ashburn, Virginia. Follow them all on Instagram. It's at Ashburn Pub, the Percival Pub, and Percival Eats. They all have websites as well. He just did his Inktober 31 drawings in 31 days, and all of the profits went to Still Brave Childhood Cancer Research, who was, I did an episode with him a couple episodes back. I did a bonus episode with the guy who started that. His name was Tom Mitchell. Still Brave is not a sponsor of the podcast, but I don't give a shit. It's an amazing, amazing, they don't do medical research and shit. They help out with like, it's all childhood cancer because Tom's daughter passed from cancer and he's on this insane mission and he does all amazing. Like he helps out with like things you would never think of. Like, let's just say, God forbid, you have a child who has cancer and money and stuff. It's like, okay, well, two people have to go to work usually, but now one person has to stay home. So they like help with like bills and even like taxi fare to the hospital and stuff like that. And unfortunately, he's paid for a lot of funerals and stuff like that. So support Still Brave Childhood Cancer. Yeah, Childhood Cancer Foundation. It's Kevin Bednar's told me about it and he sent me a couple of YouTube links and it's some really fucking powerful shit and it's all legit, so I like to throw that out there as well. Also, Main Street Jukebox, since we're on podcast time, the episode that you just listened to that I dropped just before this one was the owner of Main Street Jukebox, Tom LaFever. Follow them on Instagram at Main Street Jukebox. It's MAINST Jukebox. Go to mainstreetjukebox.com. They're located at 606 Main Street in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. They've been around since 1994. And just, if you're around there, if you follow them on Instagram, he posts shit for sale there. Go to the spot. You can go to the website and order stuff, but support mom and pop stuff like records, you know, buy a fucking record. Fuck you. I get it. The convenience of iTunes and all that stuff in your Spotify, buy a fucking record, read a sheet, get lost in your bedroom and read lyrics to something that's good. smell the record like an 8-year-old Jimmy Ferrari used to do. Also, it goes without saying, just go to the Outsiders House on Instagram, at Delta Bravo Urbex Team on Instagram. There's Delta. If you go to my Instagram page, well, I run the only Instagram pages that I even have are the two Delta Bravo ones. This one for the podcast, which is at Delta Bravo Mission Statements, and the Delta Bravo page. The link in the mission statements bio is it'll send you to a link tree to every single thing that is Delta Bravo Outsiders House related, everything. So just follow that on Instagram and go do your thing. Other than that, thanks everybody for listening. There is a Patreon account. If you go to patreon.com/Delta Bravo Mission Statements, there's only 3 tiers. If you like what I'm doing and you like these conversations, if you want to support it, I don't make any money off of it whatsoever. The money goes towards subscription fees for like hosting and shit. I throw the guy at Motion Kitchen on Instagram who does the video stuff, the editing with the intro and shit. I throw him a couple of bucks every once in a while. And other than that, it goes to the Outsiders House. No one makes any fucking money. It's a $3 a month tier. There's a $10 a month tier. And there's a sponsorship tier, which is only limited to like, I think 4. You'd see, I don't need 100 sponsors. And I think it's like $25 or something like that. So it's $3, $10, or $25. And that's it. But you don't have to. You do. That's cool. You don't. It's cool too. But yeah, I'm out of breath.
Damn, that was a. Whoo! You ran out of spit.
I fucking love it. Button on my neck, and it just fucking spills out.
Can I give a little shout out real quick?
1,000%, man.
I just want to give a little shout out to our brother, Billy Wagoner. He's going through some stuff. And you know, my thoughts and prayers are with him, his family,
one of the 52 pickup kids, man.
His brother, and you know, his kids and everything, and all of his friends. Just give a little shout out and much love. And you know, I sent him a message the other day. He got back to me.
Me too.
You know, Billy was one of the first people I met when I went out to Tulsa. You know, we've been in contact off and on for years. And then last time I was there, we hung out in the morning. We hung out in the afternoon. I was sitting at the park with James Greaser Clark. We're just kind of taking pictures. And who rolls up? One of the 52 pickup kids. Yeah. And he gets out of the car.
Yeah.
And we start talking. He starts talking.
It's super cool.
And just what a great, amazing soul. And just want to let him know that we're with him.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun talking with those two guys a couple episodes back. And you can hit up Chris or Billy Wagoner. It's Wagoner on Facebook. You can hit up either of them. It's for a $5 donation to help out with his medical expenses. There's these rubber bracelets, and on it, it just says fight like an outsider. And it's a suggested donation of $5 a piece. You know, I sent out a whole package with stuff. Like, I know that he's a big Elvis fan. So I was at Graceland on this last thing, and there was a few extra things that I got. I sent him some stuff from Graceland. I sent them a TCB Elvis Graceland pin, like his enamel pin, stuff like that. I sent them a few bucks for, you know, and you know, just for like a bracelet, just to have the bracelet. And I'll wear the bracelet, you know what I mean? So hopefully, just, you know, at this point, he already received it. So hopefully it puts a smile on his face, because I know he's a ridiculous Elvis fan. And I saw it, and I'm like, he'll appreciate this more than me. So I sent him out some stuff. And yeah, man, my prayers are with you. I mean, I think you got this, and everything will be cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, man.
Right on, bro.
Joshua Cooper.
Bud, Jimmy. Thanks for having buddy. Me, brother.
What happened?
I said, thanks for having me, my brother.
Of course, man. Listen,
we gotta do it again. I'm glad I made the you know, the first 20.
Yeah.
You know, the draft pick.
Yeah.
Kind of like I kind of feel special because you got bookends. You know, you started with Danny. You're ending with me. I got some stories.
There you go. Like
the legend. I mean, let's do this again.
Yeah, 100%. And what we will do for sure is, everybody that I meet up with on this road trip coming up in the summer, everyone I meet up with will definitely do it again, and we'll bullshit about the things that we did you know, that happened before, behind the scenes of whatever we wind up smashing, which would be a lot of, which would be a cool conversation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, buddy.
Right on.
Listen, I appreciate you. I'm glad this was easy to do. And yeah. Bro, we're going like,
I had fun, man.
But I have my counter right now is at an hour and 50 minutes, but I waited like maybe 10. So it's probably a solid hour and 40 minutes, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the running theme. I could talk to everybody that I've been talking to, I could go for another hour with at least.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, again, when I get back to work this week, I'm probably going to be sending you some late night texts like I normally do. It'll probably just be getting on the train on your way to work.
Send them over.
Looking forward to those late night chats, bro.
Yeah, like, buddy.
You know, early for you, late for me.
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan.
All right.
Be good, and we will definitely be in touch. And I'll let you know when this drops. I just dropped Alan. Next up is Tom, and then you.
Love it. Am I going to get an intro?
Yeah, you'll get an intro.
Okay.
I'll get you an intro. I got to talk to Motion Kitchen.
Message me if there's some kind of, I could throw out, you know, help the cause.
I'll talk to Motion Kitchen and cool. I'll see what we can do for you.
Right on, my brother. Yeah. Hey, Jimmy, we're, you know what? East meets West, brother.
Absolutely.
All right.
You good?
You too. Much love.
Stay gold, brother. Yes, stay gold, my man.